All right. This is Free Van Land on Free Radio Santa Cruz. It's 2014, December, what are we, 6th?
Yes.
We're talking with Danica.
Hello, everyone. Have a lovely evening here with us.
Why don't you tell us a little bit? You used to have your own radio show, by the way.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I used to have a radio show called The American Dream on KRXA, which is a now partially defunct station. It's no longer with a terrestrial signal. But the reason why I called it The American Dream, not because I'm into that necessarily, but I do think it's a wonderful idea, America. And I was basically saying we need to build this idea of America, because I don't think it's been real for most people, if anyone, in America. And so I dealt with a lot of different subjects, such as whistleblowers, focused a lot about Bradley Manning, now Chelsea Manning, who, if you're not familiar with Chelsea Manning, she is the wonderful whistleblower for WikiLeaks, who released materials such as collateral murder in Iraq. And she's written several wonderful pieces that you can look up online as well. But I was trolled relentlessly for that, and I got death threats that were apparently allowed by the owner, who has since on Twitter apologized for that, because it's...
On-air death threats, right? While the caller's there, just...
Well, yeah, and on the forum, which they had direct control over at the station to take stuff off of or leave it on, so...
Oh, yeah,
it's unfortunate, but, you know, what hurts more is not threats, it's that the fact that the community itself doesn't gather around you and have some kind of meaningful reaction to people within the community that are threatening you and that sort of thing. So it gets pretty hurtful, but, you know, I still carry on. But I do think that is the reason why my show was canceled, because of a lot of drama surrounding that. And the owner's mistress there, or whatever, I'm not going to say necessarily she is definitely the mistress, but that's the feeling
I got.
He
was married?
Yep, he's married.
So his second lady.
Yeah, the second lady, which I'm not against polyamory at all, but everyone has to be privy to it, otherwise it's cheating.
That's right.
Yeah, so I love Free Radio Santa Cruz, because I think this is such an open forum, and it's a really good concept to have people...
You can say whatever the fuck you want to.
Exactly, to have people connect, too, because like you were saying...
Real freedom in America!
Yeah, someday, maybe. I don't know.
But for this brief on-air experience, we can do whatever
we fucking
want.
Seems like we're going the opposite way, yeah.
Oh, yes. It's the police state is growing out there.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's a little taller every day. It crowds out all hope.
Yeah, I mean, I think that having false hope is really harmful. So I think that people being cheerful and hopeful and, you know, let's talk about peace. Well, first we have to deal what's uncomfortable and what's real. And a lot of times that's sometimes it's not peaceful. Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes people have to yell at each other. But that is what has to happen, I think, in order for there to be change. Mm-hmm. And change is uncomfortable for Americans in particular. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think that now we've come to such a pinnacle in our history, and, you know, it could be that we're at the pinnacle of police militarization, but, you know, what really are we at the pinnacle for? We've made great strides in women's rights and that sort of thing, but, you know, most women that I know are still within the oppression of patriarchy, and I myself had made the mistake of thinking, you know, you get that Cinderella complex, like you're gonna have some fairy tale happen to you as a woman, but what really happens is that you're just used as a woman in America, so
you get screwed like everyone else.
I mean getting screwed in a fun way as a woman, that's great. But, you know, having people take your work and you know, threaten to kill you and abuse you, that's not cool. That's not my idea of a picnic. But,
well, you did take the radical stance, and we are the oppressed minority here, trying, just struggling so that the lesser oppressed among us can have a decent life, but somehow that's evil.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
That tells you that actually our society and its values are evil.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people like to quote Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and he did say in Beyond Vietnam that we needed to have a radical revolution of values, where we need to value people over objects. And, you know, those sort of things, that kind of sentiment is something that needs to be taken up, and not just this false conversation of nonviolence, which a lot of people in Santa Cruz have. And I think it's disingenuous because a lot of people in Santa Cruz don't understand what's going on a national level because of their white privilege, their economic status, and whatnot. And that doesn't mean that they can't understand, but the fact that, you know, a lot of people want to weigh in and get really angry or get really emotional about things that they can't really fathom as, you know, a white person living in Santa Cruz, that to me is kind of sad. But I think everyone in America now is having a national dialogue, which is really healthy for people to even yell at each other or get mad, because things being out in the open is much better than being swept under the rug, in my opinion, anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to get it. Well, if you don't get it on the open, you never know what's going on.
Exactly, yeah. And we were saying personal stories really help people to connect, because when you have an issue and people butt heads on it, if you want to say that, then, you know, of course they're never going to talk as human beings because they're always going to be yelling at each other. Mm-hmm. But having said that, on some issues there are right and wrong, and in a debate there are some points that are just invalid and not logical points. So not everybody has, you know, the same weight to their argument, but I think that everyone should be heard if they have, you know, a valid voice and they're acting as an adult and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really valuable, especially like this kind of communication can be really valuable. It might be like, what the hell is this bitch saying, you know, but maybe they'll think about some of the issues that we're talking about. And like I told you, I've been, I don't want to say the victim, but I've been the subject of a lot of anger directed at me about the left wing of the spectrum, a lot of different issues. And, you know, now I kind of take it as a compliment in a way, because I think that when people get really upset at me, it's because I've brought up an uncomfortable truth to them. And so I don't feel bad making them uncomfortable, not to be mean, but to hopefully enlighten them and help them into reality. And I don't think that I have all the answers, but, you know, there's some people where you talk to them in America and it's very clear that not only do they not have some of the answers, but they're just living in their own little world, which is actually harming a lot of other people. Because it's one thing to live and let live, but once your life starts heaping externalities onto my life, then I have a right to say, what the hell are you doing, you know, in my opinion, too. So.
It's all about being a good neighbor or not. You know, most people aren't really a good neighbor. It doesn't mean just being pleasant, but yeah, like you said, there's all those externalities. Even the notion of private property is an externality that oppresses people that don't own property, right? We're all criminalized for not having enough money to have a place to sleep, you know?
Or maybe not even being able to enjoy the sacred space of the beach, you know, the ocean herself, because a rich person's taken every space that we can have, or the city council has decided that people can't go enjoy their natural space because they need time limits as adults to say when they can go and where they can go on the beach. Yeah. Which, you know, anybody that adheres to that, I'm sorry, but I was just on the beach to remember my last boyfriend and our friend and occupier, Anthony Messer. And I was wondering, gosh, is somebody going to come and harass me on the beach while I'm remembering my boyfriend who died? And, you know, I was just hoping they did at that point. I was like, all right, if someone comes and talks to me, they will be so sad, because then they really will see what a bitch looks like.
Yeah, you tear into them.
Yeah, but I do think, like I said before, and I told the city council this, that in Santa Cruz, I feel that they've had a direct effect in Anthony's death, because they've made it so uncomfortable for homeless people or just kids who want to party, just in general, have fun. Anyone who's not a rich white person out shopping on Pacific, they want to make it inhospitable for you. So people end up going to places that are somewhat dangerous.
They have to hide. So
exactly.
Yeah.
And where do they go? They go to the cliffs. They go to outward places that take so long to get to, when they've already, you know, expended their energy and they may be hungry. Excuse me. So I think that that's a direct hand that the conservative community has had in the death of my boyfriend.
Yeah.
And I would like them to know that they they have done that, and I would like them to think about that, because I know people are not that mean, and I know they don't mean to kill people, and I know they would hate to lose their spouse or their loved one, but I would like them to think about what mm-hmm. that would be like.
Yeah. It's a genocide of the poor, because he fell from a cliff, but every year there's a bunch of homeless, like 50, you know, that die.
Right.
You can be certain that a large percentage of that is people that are dying from hypothermia in the cold.
Right.
And the police will come and take back Santa Cruz or Parks and Rec and take people's sleeping bags. You know, that's actually, you know, is that manslaughter, murder? Was that premeditated manslaughter? It's premeditated genocide.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Why are those people being arrested, you know?
Well, it's a waste of resources, and it's against common sense. It's fiscally irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes more sense to help people out, and there's a great segment by David Pakman about that, you know, just from a more conservative point of view, that it just makes more sense to help people out instead of giving them piecemeal, you know, meals once in a while, or letting them sleep on a mat once in a while. You know, let's give people jobs. Let's give people a home.
Exactly.
Affordable rents.
When has there ever been zero unemployment? There's always at least 5 to 20% unemployment all the time.
You know?
If this economy really worked, then why can't people who want to get work get work? You know, there's something wrong with an economy like that.
Yeah, and you know, I'm a reasonably attractive, reasonably intelligent woman, and I am unemployed right now, and I mm-hmm. find it very hard to find any meaningful employment mm-hmm. or any employment at all that's not physically dangerous for myself, and I have no way of making money right now, and I am a member of the community. So, you know, them saying, oh, well, you don't live here. It's like, well, technically I live in two different places, but I really don't have a place of my own, you know, mm-hmm. and if you are houseless, that doesn't mean that you're not a member of the community. But them making it dangerous for people is unacceptable, and that needs to stop, because I know Santa Cruz is smarter than that, and I know that even though people here have become a little coddled in some areas, that they don't want people to die in their city cold and hungry mm-hmm. or hiding from the
police.
They
don't know about it, you know. All yeah. they see is the homeless guy yelling on the street, because, you know, a lot of them, you know, have been released, you know, from Reagan kicking out the mental institutions, and
you know,
so where are you going to put them now, you know? And then it was like in your situation, you know, say, the economy goes south, and then how are you going to afford to pay these ridiculous rents around here? Because we live in a really nice area near the beach, you know, it's really attractive. It's a magnet for rich people that come in here and drive up all the rents and ruin it for everyone else.
Yeah, and then there's always the conversation of who is a local, and, you know,
I told
the city council, like, they don't get to pick who is in their community. Your community is who exists there with you in the spectrum of thought and people. So, you know, it's like trying to make a designer community is not America. That's exactly the opposite of what America is supposed to be about.
Mm-hmm.
And we're a melting pot nation, and, you know, it makes us a stronger nation if we mm-hmm. recognize that. But I don't think that people can right now recognize that. And I'm so pleased to see the wonderful protests that have kind of resounded throughout our entire nation after Ferguson mm-hmm. In New York and pretty much everywhere in the country. I was telling Free that I really kind of feel kind of sad that I don't live near a city where I could be more a part of a huge, powerful action. So I try to make myself heard in other ways through online activities and the like, but mm-hmm. it would be nice to be able to be in a huge, meaningful community.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what we can do is try to make our community a little bit more meaningful. And we have such a wealth, not only literally a wealth of, you know, monetary wealth, but in education here. And I think there's a lot of people that could help and could contribute meaningfully that really don't do much, but they have a lot to contribute to the entire process, and they could really help people. I don't know about, like, we were talking about certain programs to kind of piecemeal the situation, and I think that is part of the bigger picture, such as, you know, feeding. We were at a Food Not Bombs event, and I think that's wonderful direct action where the community is responding to a need right away. But there shouldn't be people that are lined up to receive a free meal, because they should have a meal at home and they should have a home to have mm-hmm. a meal in.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful thing, but people should realize that, you know, as you're enjoying your family for the holidays, that there are people that have nowhere to stay, that have lost loved ones due to this war, whether it be from the police murdering them or, you know, the economy murdering them, that mm-hmm. our system is taking our loved ones from us. And we do all have our different issues, but like you were saying, we definitely need to get together and focus on what's hurting us and not necessarily each other so much, because
we have a common enemy. We don't need to make enemies among ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. And there's so many people that I know that just dislike each other, and mm-hmm. they should really be working together.
Well, it's my view that like 80% of all the activists I know suffer from obsessive compulsive disorder. They want to control everything around them. That's why they get into politics.
Well, also it's true.
So they get very upset when they can't, you know. Because we're all a bunch of fucking rebels that aren't, no, we're not going to.
Well, it's true also when you have an intelligent community, and Starhawk writes about this in one of her books, I can't recall which, but she says when you have an intelligent group, there are inherently more problems in that group. So you can kind of take it as a compliment, but, you know, you have the Republicans, who I consider, you know, one of those people that are heaping externalities upon us, and now the Democrats have become, in many cases, Republican light. But those people, I think, they're so hell-bent.
Yeah, they become the Republicans of yore, and the Republicans today are now the Nazis of yore, you know, everything's shifted to the right.
It is like 1984.
Corporatism and... they've taken over the media, and the CIA are using the same techniques that they used to use in external countries on us here.
Yeah, and the
police... they've been doing it for decades.
Yeah, exactly. And the police militarization being used against young African-American males in particular mm-hmm. is disgusting, and it has to stop. It's not something that anyone that I know that's a sensible person wants to pay for. And the people that do want to pay for, you know, these KKK cops to gun down black men are not part of America that we need. You know, it's part of this idiocracy, part of the past of our country that needs to go away and is alive and well today. It's not at all part of the past. And a lot of people like to say, oh, we're in a post-racial society. And it's like, well, I don't even know what that means. But no, we're not. Because mm-hmm. everybody sees the differences. And a lot of times now, it also has to do with your socioeconomic class. But race mm-hmm. cannot be denied. This is a racial issue.
Well, they also gender. They try and divide us on all these different issues, so mm-hmm. we're fighting amongst ourselves instead of focusing on who's got all the fucking money all the time, you know?
Right.
That's why we're all suffering, is because all of our money that we earned actually got distributed up to the 1% because they control the system.
Yeah, there's a great cartoon / meme, and it's an angry protest crowd that has a line of police officers that's protecting a couple of 1%ers, and the 1%ers are saying to each other, wait till these guys figure out that we're stealing their pensions, and they're talking about the police. So,
exactly.
You know, and I try not to dehumanize police, but to be perfectly honest, I hate police. And I do dehumanize them, because that's what they do to everyone else. And
Why do you think they call them pigs? I mean, come on.
There's a reason. Yeah, and I try not to, because I've looked into the eyes of some officers, and I know in another world that, you know, we could even have dated, you know, and it's just like the fact that they chose such a disgusting path. And, you know, they don't have to be like that. They don't have to go after homeless. There's a discretion in how you enforce the law.
That is correct. Also, they are racist. We're finding their new statistical research on these stay-away orders and everything. And there's a racial bias. There isn't that many black people here, but there's a proportionately large stay-aways and things against blacks here. So it is definitely racist here, even though it pretends to be a liberal town. And
yeah, and it's a national issue in Salinas. There have been several police murders.
They're killing people down there. They're a little bit further down the continuum. Our cops don't kill people too often.
Well, you know, it's a little more difficult in America to gun down a rich white person, and that's a fact. And it's a sad fact, but I did talk to one of the victims' sisters in Salinas, and she actually said the officer who murdered her brother drove by our protest right before I had gotten there, looked at her in a menacing way, and drove away on duty. So, just so everybody got that, the man who murdered this woman's brother, the officer, was on duty the night of our protest, protesting them murdering people, and came to terrorize this sister of a victim that they had killed. And, you know, this is something that people in Santa Cruz should care about because, you know, the people in Salinas are providing your veggies. They are your brothers and sisters. And it's really hard for people to think about others like that. But it does affect people. And there is somebody that was saying in a recent thread, well, Santa Cruz has no problem because we don't have racial issues. And, you know, gentrifying something to the point of only rich white people being there is a racial issue. And it is an issue if you say, well, we don't have an issue because it's a national issue and you are an American.
Or international.
International.
It's never going to go away.
Correct.
It's
yeah.
a way to control people's by playing on their prejudices.
Yeah.
It is. Is that what we're being played, really? I mean, the whole thing.
Well, that's what the KKK wants, is a race war.
Exactly.
So, you know,
exactly.
And there is a great Operation Ferguson, I'd like to mention them online, that have been helping spread and amplify the voices of those who really need to be heard, particularly young African-American people in America in this movement. And a lot of people have felt like, you know, there's been elements of Occupy reflected in it. And I think that so many things that people do throughout the ages reverberate in future protests, that it's really beautiful to see the action and just some of the people being reactivated from the Occupy, as well as some of the live streamers and some of the idea makers. So I just think it's very beautiful that some of the people are becoming conscious. And we need more people to be like that, but maybe we need more people to be uncomfortable before they become conscious, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's usually what it takes. Well, yeah. Down economies, a lot of people have nothing to do because they're out of work, then they start getting political and the system's not working. So they either go to the left or the right, so we gotta have a good program going on our side, or the Nazis will get them on the right.
Well, it's sad because, you know, people joke about the Nazis, but the Americans...
They're still around. They're still
Well, Americans killed more Native Americans than the Nazis ever did Jews, not to minimize the Holocaust in any way, but to let people know that, yeah, the Nazis are us.
We're still doing it all over the world.
Half
you know?
Of me, technically, since I'm part Native American, but you know what I mean. You guys know what I mean. But also...
Well, this is your land, actually.
Yeah. And there have been officers that have been shown in Missouri and other places to be part of the KKK. So we're literally paying, you know, these Nazis, these KKKers, whatever you want to call them, the modern term, with our state funds to murder people.
Well, I don't think anyone who belongs to a secret society should be allowed in government employee.
Yeah, a lot of them seem disturbed.
Well, I'm thinking of, you know, the Freemasons and the Illuminati's and all those other ones as well, Trilateral or whatever. Because they're all in it, you know. And it, obviously, they have their little thing going behind the scenes where they're all helping each other at our expense. So, yeah, the minute somebody's involved in the KKK or any kind of secret society, you can assume that they can't be loyal to the country. They can't work for the government. Fuck it.
Well, that's how the police have become, is they have the blue wall where they literally protect each other no matter what.
Oh, and fuck yes.
Yeah, the district attorneys / prosecutors have become complicit. We've all seen with Bob McClellan or whatever.
They've got everything. They've got the laws all set up for them. You know, when they could lose their jobs, they go right to court. They don't have to exhaust their administrative remedies. They've got everything.
They're working in collusion.
All the juries are on their side. Mm-hmm. They've got everything going for them.
Yeah, It's pretty scary, and a lot of people who, like myself as a young person, had this shining idea of what justice was. I'm hoping that now they see that's not true, that it is a system of bribes that incarcerates mostly African-American people and poor people. And, you know, there's 12% African-American people in America, and there's a huge disproportionate number in the prisons. I'm not sure what it is, but it's just so disproportionate that you can tell. And a lot of racist white people then say, well, it's because they're just bad. And I know this because I've been trolled on Twitter for helping. And no, people aren't just bad. You know, unless you're a sociopath or whatever, you're not born bad.
No, that's racism. I mean, it shows up statistically.
Yeah. And it's also the, so a couple people have talked about this, and it's also something I read about in a book called The White Man's Indian, where in America particularly, they assign kind of this mystical property to Native Americans and superhuman strength to African Americans. And it's just a dehumanizing thing, you know, like in the one sense, you're like a mystical animal or something. And Darren Wilson tried to say that. You know, Mike Brown was this scary demon of a man, but Darren Wilson is 6'4", 210 pounds, and he himself is, you know, very intimidating. And so that logic to me, as a woman who's 5'3", you know, 115 whatever pounds, is ridiculous. You know, you can't just say that person is scaring me, so I had to shoot them. Otherwise, women would have a very good...
You'd need an automatic weapon, right?
Yeah, we'd have a lot of ammo, so to speak, to shoot pretty much a lot of the guys in the country. So, I mean... That's just ridiculous, and people in America need to wake up and realize that, you know, we can, what's the old adage, you can live together as brothers or die together as fools, you know, so, and I would like to say as people, because, you know, we're not just men, and everyone starts off as a woman.
That's right.
And then they lose material and become men eventually, but... But actually, that is true, though. Guys do have less genetic material than men. Look it up. Look up the Y chromosome.
Uh-huh.
Yep. But I digress. I think that this whole situation is hopefully making some people talk to each other that wouldn't normally talk to each other. And not just in a negative way, but a lot of this stuff I've seen online is, you know, if you agree with somebody, you're going to amplify their voice. If you disagree, then you get trolled a lot of times, but excuse me, by racists and that sort of thing. But, you know, it's not anything that really bothers me. What really bothers me is that the strong people, the good people, not standing up, because there's always going to be assholes. But if you are intelligent and strong and you know something's wrong, then you have a responsibility to be part of the process and help form the country. Otherwise, you know, this is just a dream that we're living in, you know, like George Collins said. And I think that everyone deserves a little bit more in our country, because I've just struggled so badly, and I think that a lot of people are struggling through terrible tragedies. Mm-hmm. And some of the people have no idea. On the other hand, they're the other America, where they are so coddled and they have everything given to them that they can't even fathom the realities, the harsh realities.
Their investments are doing well.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like I said, it's not like they're trying to be mean, but in ignoring evidence that's right in front of you as an intelligent person, you are being complicit in the actions of those that are being mean and hurting others, such as the police. So I think that needs to be shown. And the police, of course, need to be defunded, retrained. They need psychological evaluations, and we need to severely limit the amount of military equipment they have, because mm-hmm. in America, we have such a crazy police force. If you look at any other civilized nation, they do not have, you know, the number of killings, if any killings, that we do. So I don't know what the number of people that it was. I think it was like 409 to 460, something like that, people have been shot this year by police. And that's in America. And so you look at the statistics from other countries, and I would guess that it's fairly staggering.
I'm going to have to start carrying smoke with me or something. Unaimed fire is much easier to run away from.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know.
They should just take the guns away from them. What the hell?
Yeah, they should.
Tasers are all
guns.
They really need. They can kill people with tasers already. They don't need.
Well, you know, and it's also like the threat to justify the weaponry, and they always assume that there's going to be a deadly threat in every situation, and that is not the case in almost every situation. It is not the case. And one case of somebody that I talked to in Salinas, she told me that the victim had been gunned down by the police, by all white officers. This is a Latino man, and they shot so many times that the tree, six houses down or something, fell down because that the police had fired so many times. Oh, so, man. I mean, this is not something where common sense or the thought of safety is actually coming into play.
Well, there's the thing, too. Like, yeah, with the taser, at least they're not going to hit a little baby or something. That could have been a little baby.
Well,
that
they're
got
afraid
shot up,
and they're hysterical. And, like, I don't love the FBI, but at least they do a little bit more rigorous training and screening
for
people.
A little bit better than the cops, yeah.
Yeah, and the cops, like, the.
But the FBI, remember, still killed Black Panthers, and those murders
well,
have never
Well, they
been,
do it in a crafted way, and yeah. sometimes I think that's all crafted, but being just afraid of a black
more
man.
Professional.
Well, being just afraid of a black man like Darren Wilson was, that is something that he, as you know, a white man in Missouri, has been taught his entire life, and we've all been taught in America. And there's a recent study.
I've been taught to be afraid of the cop, the pig.
Well, there's a recent study. I think it was in Mother
Life
Jones.
Experience.
But they actually monitored people's trigger reactions to different images and that sort of thing. And so you can't really hide how your body reacts. And so even if you don't consider yourself racist, it's like you see
something.
Yeah,
but racist trigger finger.
Yeah. But I think that people like Darren Wilson shouldn't be police. You know, he was very clearly mentally unstable.
Aren't they supposed to have, like screening for to keep the nuts off the street? You
right.
know?
Yeah. And then the other officer, I forget the main one who choked, Eric Garner, who was repeatedly saying, "I can't breathe." You know, he had been charged before with just very weird actions as a police officer. And Eric just asked for them to leave him alone. He said, "Please just leave me alone." And they wouldn't leave him alone. And then they ended up killing him. And then on Democracy Now, they had a segment about how not only did they do that to try to kill him, but they didn't call an ambulance for, I believe it was 7 minutes. So they could have saved his life very easily. They just chose not to. And in the video, one of
the deliberate indifference.
Yeah, and one of the officers looks a little bummed out. I mean, it's like literally like you murder someone and you're bummed out. How sick mm-hmm. are you, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah, 3 minutes, that's enough time to deliberate. Yeah, they were late. I'm serious. Yeah. Legally, they should be fucking going down for that. Wrongful death, at least.
Yeah, there should be some accountability, but we all know that the system that is being protected
by these men. It all depends on your lawyer, really. You know,
well,
take it
the
a good
system
lawyer.
Is protecting these men. The cops
of course,
never
yes.
get a, an
Or they won't be paying the millions of dollars. It'll
exactly.
come out of the taxpayer.
Yeah. Yeah, so we've got a fucked up system. We've got a lot to do, and everyone's mad at each other. I think that's where we are right now. Mm-hmm. But we've also made a lot of progress. And like I said,
and we can make more.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, and me personally, I've just met so many wonderful people that they kind of do outweigh the bad people. It's just that we need more good people to come out and speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always the way, how to get more people out. Like I said, it's usually when things are tough and they got time on their hands that they get more politically active. We're just addicted to it because, you're like... You're a well-known Occupy. You run some Occupy site, right?
Well, no, I don't run a site. I'm an administrator, administrators to one of the sites and a couple other things. But, you know, that's set up in such a way that no one person is given a power to edit and control the whole thing because mm-hmm. that's not what Occupy is about. And right. I don't believe in censorship and editing. So I almost rarely, if not ever, edit anything, but mm-hmm. I have been the victim of editing directly, which I became very angry about. But, you know, that's just people mm-hmm. in our country where they are so used to revisionist history that sometimes they just want to write things down in a way that makes them comfortable or makes them feel good about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. And it's all about PR, too, because you just talk about, you know, one guy, you know, is always a founder of the nation and builder of blah, blah, blah. Or you look at it from the other coin and it's like, oh, well, he was a slave rapist, you know, who stole my father's land. And well, I mean, a lot of them were. You can say that about any number of the supposed founding fathers. And a lot of the ideas.
Not Thomas Paine.
A lot of the ideas came from their wives, too, which you never hear about the founding
sure.
mothers. So our country, I think, like I said, has yet to come to any of its full ideal potential or even the idea.
No, it's a continuing revolution. That was the whole idea from the very beginning.
Right, yeah.
We're actually the true American patriots because we want to continue the revolution. The
well,
government in power wants to stop it. They're the traitors, really. They're un-American.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I think that patriot and revolution, I think, unfortunately, that language has become a little bit muddied with the Tea Party and the, the racism in our country.
Well, I like to steal. They don't get to hold the flag, you know, because like I said, they're the traitors.
Yeah, exactly.
We're the real Americans. We're continuing the revolution. For freedom. It's about freedom. They want to take freedom away from people. You notice that? That's how you can tell a real American who wants to expand freedom and who wants to shrink it.
Yeah, and everybody should protect, just like Larry Flint said, you know, to basically protect the scumbags, because somebody thinks you're a scumbag. So, you know, it's like if you don't protect other people's rights. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it does come to a point, and somebody said, well, you can't run into a theater and scream fire, you know. So there's limits on free speech. But
sure, but that's not a right. I mean, you don't have any need to do that. That's
right.
Just being mean.
Yeah, and it's also going back to the externalities. It's like, you know, obviously if you're enlightening people, you shouldn't be going to prison, but you have people like Chelsea Manning who are now in prison for a very crazy long amount of time for just informing, you know, the people of America about what their tax dollars were doing, which we're supposed to know anyways. Mm-hmm. That's our right. And that's mm-hmm. how we that's, operate yeah. as a democracy.
It's a police state. That just shows you there's more and more. We're infiltrated by elements.
Yeah,
that exactly. want to make it where they don't completely control you, but they're grabbing more power every day. There's still people that resist. There's still regular folks that just have a job, you know, in the government or whatever, and are not part of these secret cabals that are taking over this nation. You can see it happening. We're going more and more towards fascism. It's just getting worse every day. That's how Hitler did it. Did it slowly, you know, so people don't notice it's happening.
Yeah, and one of the ways they do that now is that they try to act like the internet is somehow a non-real space, but it's a very real space that our generation communicates in, and in fact, it's one of the main spaces that our generation communicates in. And so we have to protect our right to have an open internet and mm-hmm. to have access to information mm-hmm. and really thank groups like Anonymous and, you know, any kind of fighting for the future, you know, even cop watch groups. But mm-hmm. in general, people who are fighting for the open internet, I think, is really vital for our causes, because you know, one of the main ways to get people to stop doing things is to stop giving them information, making it so they can't read. You know, one of the greatest church tactics was to have it so only the priests could read and know what God said. And then all of a sudden people could read and mm-hmm. say, hey, wait a minute, I think I know what God says better than you.
Mm-hmm,
and
exactly.
I think I feel a little more godly than you with all your money and all your women. And mm-hmm. wait a minute. So it's
plus
very
it was
dangerous.
It was the Christians who destroyed the library at Alexandria, one of the greatest treasures of knowledge from the ancient world. Some of it lost forever now.
Yeah, that kind of stuff is just
for
human
all the
tragedy.
Mayan.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful knowledge. And it's like, that's one of those things that those books, too, were each one was a work of hand-tooled art, often with, you know, beautiful, mm-hmm, one-of-kind mm-hmm. metal workings and leather working and that kind of stuff can never be gotten back, not to mention the information. But the controlling of information is one of the main ways fascists try to uh-huh. make it so they're in, like I said, a pivotal position to always tell people what's going on,
right.
you know, because they know what's going on.
People will give up power if they don't know how to respond to the situation.
Yeah, and then they make everyone in America afraid, you know. It's mm-hmm. like you have shows like Homeland, which is a propaganda show that's directly involved in making people afraid of Islamic mm-hmm. people, you know, yeah. promoting Islamophobia. And if you look at the promo shot, it's actually Claire Danes in looking very beautiful with blonde hair in a red hoodie, almost like Little Red Riding Hood or the girl from Schindler's List in red. And she's surrounded by very dark, film noir, nefarious looking women in burqas who almost look like ghosts. So the entire shot's just, you know, it's a propaganda shot to make you freaked out right off the bat. But I think that, you know, the promotion of Islamophobia through that kind of propaganda and hatred in general in our country is something that a lot of people mm-hmm. can't even see. So they don't know that when they're watching Fox News or whatever, that they're actually having hate speech directed at them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're causing violence with their actions, sometimes by their externalities or direct actions of, you know, shooting people because they're afraid of an African-American man.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's enough to make you get frustrated, but like I said, as intelligent people, we can't just explode. We have to do something about it.
That's why I just make bad jokes, because you have to be, it's sad otherwise.
Well, comedy is really powerful.
It's stress releasing.
Yeah, and that's also, though, like, parody itself has always been a tool.
Oh, yes, because there's no defense against wit.
Exactly, and, you know, it's like, I know that Galileo wrote some of his materials in a dialogue form, just because given the opportunity to speak as someone else, you know, or make it a little bit different, you get to say things that you wouldn't normally get to say, and comedy gives you that space too, where you can just ridicule. And I know that Colbert is so popular, and Stewart's very popular, and Colbert does kind of like the fake Republican guy that's so witty, and a lot of people just really connect to that, because it is, it's serious material, but it's given to you in a way because it is so ridiculous. It's like, God, this is such
I'm sure
stupid
some
stuff.
Republicans actually believe everything he's saying.
Oh, yeah, I've had people that didn't know he was...
Because they're not very bright, right? I mean, you wouldn't be a Republican if you were smart.
Yeah, I've actually had
unless you're rich.
You
got to be rich
that.
Or stupid to be a Republican, really. I mean, seriously, who else would believe that crap, you know?
And you know, if somebody had a straightforward thing, like, I'm a fiscal conservative, but no one actually ever says that. They always say crazy things like, well, it's because Obama's a socialist and feminists are trying to take away the men's right. And you're like, okay, this is just so far from reality that you can't have a conversation with someone like that. And you shouldn't have to either. And those kind of people set the national debate, unfortunately. So,
well, this framing it is a lot of part of propaganda, really.
Yeah.
Instead of framing it in like, like on the issue of unemployment, why is there never zero unemployment? You never hear that, you know, or a flat tax. Oh, sure, flat tax would be fine if it was a flat tax on wealth.
Yeah.
And we would pay nothing. Mm-hmm. We'd have no paperwork to fill out. The rich would have to pay their fair share because it's a flat tax, right?
Well, yeah, and then
it's never framed that way, though.
Well, they should say everyone in America should have, you know, a quality of life and life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But you can't pursue happiness if you're being terrorized by the police,
excuse me,
and being hungry, being sexually harassed, all that kind of stuff. But that's the reality of our country, so I think we need to change it, and we're all intelligent enough to where we can look at these things and make real changes in our lives to try to make it a little better.
Yeah, well, we know the cops don't like cameras, and everybody's got a video thing on their phone now, so if you see the cops, just stop and watch, and maybe you'll catch something that you could film and go viral on the internet. You never know. I mean, it's, yeah, that's one thing that anybody can do, is that the cops don't like it. I guarantee you they hate when they're filmed. I've seen it many times, they hate it when they're filmed. So if they hate it so bad, why would they hate it so bad if they weren't dirty, right? I mean, they wouldn't care.
Yeah, and I was telling you earlier, and I'll share with everyone now, that I was stalked by this guy who's supposedly a former police officer, old white man.
Oh, I didn't hear he was a cop.
Yeah, so I was in my yard, and I look up, and there's a man photographing me from the bushes. And I was like, what are you doing? Oh, my God, what are you doing? And he just smiled at me really weird. And this is a guy who's been bothering my family for a year. And so I ran away, and then I was told, because my stepdad wanted me to make a police report, which I'm like, they're not going to do anything, but I did call.
Especially if he's a former pig. Come on.
Exactly.
I didn't know that
I don't know if he is or not. I think he might be psycho, but supposedly he is. But so this sheriff that came out, because Monterey County sheriffs come out to the Prunedale area. There are no police. It's just the sheriffs.
Uh-huh.
And this sheriff comes out and tells me that I have no reasonable expectation of privacy outside of my house. And so they're telling me this as a woman, you know, who's being stalked. And then they don't want people to film them as public servants out on the public sidewalk.
I know, they don't like it. They don't have an expectation of privacy either. But you don't either, unless it's a curtilage fence and he's leaping over your fence or something like that. Then you would have, but
Yeah, but there's a lot of pie in the sky stuff about law, where I had the lawyer was telling me that, you know, they really want to make sure no one's rights are not infringed upon. So they're very reticent about giving away temporary restraining orders. And I'm like, they are not at all concerned about rights in our country. I mean, have you looked at the prison statistics? And it's all situational on what makes them uncomfortable. So
there's an awful lot of restraining order. I mean, hear a lot. I mean, in the law library, that's like a third of what people name
and,
change.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter because as a woman, if somebody's threatening you, they basically told me that if unless he hurts you, you can't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. And then everybody hears about it and they think it's as a community standard. That's what a law is. And most people would assume that if a man was hiding in the bushes photographing their daughter in their yard, that that would be, you know, something worth looking into, but apparently it's not a crime.
No, but you can film him back. You can put it up on...
Yeah, but, you know, I'm not as weird as him, and I do have, I have material of him, but I do...
Of him filming you, though. That's because you make him look weird in the neighborhood.
Yeah, can... and he doesn't even live on the property that he was at. He lives up the street. So strange. It's just so sad that we have such a predatory against women society where the police are doing, you know, things that are very similar to this, and then if you have a citizen, like a cop watch group or just a private citizen who films the police, then they get even legal ramifications sometimes now.
Well, no, I mean, you're legal. If you stay on the sidewalk, there's nothing the cops can do about it. There's been Supreme Court decisions not that long ago,
too. Well, there's
several
cop watchers, and actually, there's. I was telling Robert, there's a new Fusion Center FBI movement where they have attempted to link cop watch groups, Black Lives Matter, and Anonymous with sovereign citizen terrorist groups, which are, you know, I don't know if everyone remembers Timothy McVeigh and his whole bombing situation in Oklahoma, but what they're trying to equate with us as activists is terrorism. And these are people working with the police and sometimes the police themselves who are actually terrorizing the citizens with military weaponry.
Yeah.
So they're trying to frame cop
watch. They're trying to frame it, yeah.
But
cop watch, no, there's nothing they can do about it. It's completely legal.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, they hate it. So it's something legal you can do that they fucking hate. So instead of getting busted and end up in court and not doing anything because you have to go back to court all the time, end up hating all your other activists because you're the one that got busted and other people didn't, you know.
Yeah.
Do cop watch. You know, just be on their ass all the fucking time. You know, it's, they can't do a fucking thing about it. They, you know, and it'll keep them in line. If nothing else, they, I noticed that whenever anybody pulls out a camera at a protest, now the cop all of a sudden changes their behavior and is not so belligerent.
Yeah, I think that's true with everyone because, you know, if
we can all do that, we all got those phones now.
Correct, yeah. And I've done that several times where you whip out the camera and the police all of a sudden becomes a little bit more civil. But
yep. As they're supposed to be. You know, isn't that odd? That's transparency in government because you're going to take that. And that's the only, because you show that, a jury will believe that. Otherwise, the jury will take the cop's word on fucking anything, you know?
Yeah, and them saying like, okay, well, they come up to someone who's emotional, so then they get emotional and shoot. That's not their job. Their job is to keep
calm, correct,
and keep people
safe.
So.
Exactly. Should be screened for their emotions. They should not let fucking nut job emotional because those are people that shoot people and stuff, you know? No, I'd rather not be killed by a cop that got emotional than have somebody shoplift or so. I'd rather have the shoplifting than the fucking killer cop in my neighborhood.
Yeah, and a lot of cases it would just be common sense and it would be better and more effective to have a counselor or mediator there and not a police officer, and they need way more women because women have a calming effect on situations in the law.
Well, that's another thing. They've already got SWAT teams for when they're up against somebody that can actually shoot back, you know, so they should have separate cops for every little thing they do because they use the same cops that they fucking fuck with drunks and perps and everything else at demonstrations, and so they treat us like perps too.
Well, that's another thing is that I have a neighbor who is a Salinas SWAT officer who misrepresented in an official letter, but it wasn't official. He pretended that my parents were somehow stealing water from the well that's on our property, our own well.
What?
And he wrote this letter to the whole neighborhood saying that my parents, in particular my stepfather, had stolen water from our own well and all this other stuff, and put his official detective badge on it. And then he literally says, I have no evidence, but I, as a detective, feel that this is a strong legal case, and sent it out to slander the entire, you know, to slander us.
They consume over that.
Yeah, well, that's what everyone says, but now everyone's like, get over it. But you know.
Well, no, I mean, just sue them, just to shut them up, or just to teach them a lesson.
It's $1,500 for, you know, the first round.
You have no money is actually a tactical advantage and legal, because you get fee waivers for everything.
But if you're going in an action only as a victim of a crime, do you get a free lawyer? You don't just have free legal.
Oh, no, you'd have to do your own legal.
Yeah, you don't get that. So that's another part of our system where most people don't have $1,500,
$3,100
to go to court.
Don't waste your money on lawyers. Go to the law library. It's not that hard to do, really. Really, there's forms and all kinds of shit. It's not that difficult. It takes a little while to learn it, but you've got plenty of time before you even file. Mm-hmm. So,
Well, it's a bad system, and I did want to be a lawyer for a while, but now that I see that the court system
they're corrupt. Judges are so corrupt.
Yeah, the judges are not looking at the evidence. They already have a political view based on a conservative activist position oftentimes.
They want an election. So. They're politicians, so that's how they make their decisions, the same way politicians do, by what their constituents would support.
Right, and you always hear about liberal activist judges,
not
but
justice.
That's not the way that it goes. It's usually conservative activist judges.
It used to be that way in the past.
Yeah, and they don't weigh evidence. Like I said, they already know how they're going to vote based on how the prosecutors told them a lot of times, and it's not a good thing.
Yeah. No, it's a corrupt system.
What time is it? What time do we have here?
It's almost 8.
8 o'clock almost? Mm-hmm. Well, I hope everyone's having a wonderful Saturday evening, and I know it's hard to process this kind of information in large amounts, but I think that it's great that, you know, this radio station is here so that maybe some people will process some of the information that we're talking about.
And people can get their own shows on free radio. That's also why it's here, to provide a voice for the community to talk to itself.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, but I think that in general, the mainstream media or any kind of voice where you would be heard on a larger scale is owned by the 1%. So you don't get a lot of the left-wing people or any left-wing people on mainstream media. So, you know, you have MSNBC is supposed to be our bastion of left-wing.
What's liberal at best?
Liberals, but a lot oftentimes it's very tepid. And to me, that's almost, you know, just the same as Fox, even though sometimes they're not lying
as badly as Fox.
Well,
we got Russian TV, so we see... We see the other side of the corporate.
Well, I love Russia Today because I think they have wonderful stories, but they also, you can tell, have a pro-Russian slant.
Exactly.
But I think that because of that, they do actual stories about what's wrong with America.
Right. They have no qualms
about exposing
our problems, so you can get a more balanced view.
But looking at the difference in coverage over the Ukraine, for example, from BBC versus Russia Today is just amusing. It's like, okay, propaganda war, let's go. Let's have it. That's...
You always have to keep that in mind. You know, anytime you read anything, is what point of view would this... What bias would this writer have, you know, for any political reason, stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we're all, even ourselves, even in your own, you think about yourself. Oh, would I be biased? Is there a reason for me to be biased about this? Because even your own opinions are tilted because of practical needs and rationalizations and things.
And personal experiences. And once you get to be a little older and you've had a lot of experiences, you know, like when I was in middle school, I actually kind of dreamed of being in the FBI because I thought they were great people. And I thought, you know, you could be like an agent, like I was telling you, you know, like Silence of the Lambs, and go out and stop the murderer and that sort of thing. And then you find out that they are chasing your loved ones out of the country for helping with the homeless protest and that sort of thing. And it's really not something meaningful to do unless you're helping your country. And, you know, I'm sure there's things that we don't hear about that they do, but the fact that they're allowing in the FBI and the police force their selves to be used by the 1% to persecute people who are doing good activities or no activities at all, whatever.
The FBI are still pigs. They're a little smarter than your average pig. But
and as a white American, you don't like to think about the fact that they did try to frame, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King. And
they were killing Panthers. They're murder.
Yeah, exactly.
That hasn't, you know, no one's going to jail for those murders, you know, and all this.
And if people don't get why someone would be mad and become a Black Panther, then, you know, you really just don't get it, because people should be angry. And yeah, of course, some people say, well, then they shouldn't cause riots. But yes, people should be angry, and that should never be the focus. The focus should be police violence. And if you're focused on supposed riots or looting without any evidence, really, of who started those fires anyways, then you're focused on the wrong thing.
Well, it could be FBI provocateurs, because Hoover was, he preferred that they would do riots and things. What bothered him was that they were doing, you know, free breakfast to poor ghetto kids. You know, that's because that's good PR for the Panthers.
Well, no one knows how those fires started, and to be honest with you, I don't think it's wrong to torch a place where you couldn't afford stuff for your whole life. But the police were using devices such as smoke grenades that are highly flammable and have been proven to cause fires.
Like I said, it benefits them. That kind of stuff actually benefits them, so they could be behind it. You know, even if it was the protesters, it could be an FBI agent pushing that kind of thing.
Well, because Americans are so trained in the false conversation of nonviolence, they do take the bait of the red herring and talk about riots instead of talking about the young man, Michael Brown, who was shot there. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we have KKK members being paid in Missouri on our dime to shoot young men. And that's the focus that should always be there. And people need to really look at that focus. And I said on Twitter, which, you know, was very, it resounded with people, that if you care more about a burning car or pharmacy than you do about a human being murdered, then you're probably an American. And unfortunately, I think that is true.
Property is sacred.
Yeah, and it's a false focus that we've been trained as slaves, you know, to think, okay, right. Well, you need to make sure that you don't ever get mad, and you don't, and women especially have this to the nth degree, because you're never supposed to be a human being. You're always supposed to be an object. So, you know, being angry is a human emotion, and God forbid anybody show human emotion in the face of crushing poverty and, you know, being killed literally in their neighborhood and being left out for 5 hours for your mother to become hysterical ass up while you're dead, you know. And that's what happened. And people should be angry about that. And if you don't get why people are angry about that, then to me you are racist, and you're also a little more than stupid, because, you know, if you haven't ever been angry in that angry in your life, you're lucky. But you can't, you know, really fault other people for being angry, for having their entire lives be torturesome, and then, you know, see it ended, or your friend's life ended, whatever, because, you know, it is representative of you if you live in that neighborhood. And as a poor person, it's a representative of almost all of us in a way that we could, you know, be so close to being homeless or being abused by the police. And of course, I have white privilege, so I know that I most likely would not be shot if I ran towards a police officer. But as an activist, I know that they have tried to hurt me because I'm an activist, and they wanted to hurt me. So.
Well, more likely you'd be searched in an inappropriate manner.
Yeah, and I was,
because you're an attractive female.
And I've told that story that, you know, I in Monterey County quite a few years back there, like, I had a traffic warrant, and I had just taken care of my disabled sister, and I was coming back, and I was pulled over by a sheriff who told me that I was a street racer, which I told him was not true, that I had been taking care of my wheelchair-bound sister, and that's why I was out at midnight. Not that it was any of his business, but he looked up my name, and I did have a traffic warrant, which is why you should always not ever provide them with anything to try to grab you on, because he literally then searched me very thoroughly a few times over with a perverted look on his face, grabbing my breasts inappropriately in a way he didn't have to. And I asked for a female officer, and then I was arrested, put into a cell with a window front with a bunch of other women, where the officers would come up and they would say who they were gonna fuck, which one of us they would fuck, which to me is obviously a threat of rape, because none of us were there. We were kidnapped. So if someone kidnaps you and says they're going to fuck you, they're rapists. And one of the female officers, because I told one of the officers that I was depressed, and she's like, well, don't say you're depressed, because then you go into solitary, and you don't want to be in solitary. And I was like, why is this other woman telling me not to be in solitary? And then I thought, well, you know what? She was probably afraid for me as a woman to be alone with those officers in that cell without the protection of other people being around.
Witnesses.
Yes. And they did not allow us to make a phone call to our families. The only way I was able to make my allowed phone call was by a male prisoner who was in the jail mopping actually slid a note under the door with a bail bondsman phone number, which is the way that you were allowed to dial out from the jail that I was at. And so that's the only way my family knew where I was. And I was just missing for like, I think it was 9 to 12 hours. So in the middle of the night, my car was there. I was just gone. And so the only time I've ever been threatened with rape and kidnapped was by law enforcement. So I really don't like them. And I do think people say that, well, there's good cops.
Why do you think they call them pigs? I mean, I keep saying.
Right. Well, people say, though, there's good cops.
Don't say fuck the pigs. Why not?
Yeah. And people say there's good cops. But there's, you know, like I said, if you're not speaking out against a system or you're working within a system that is encouraging and promoting rape, you know, the death of African Americans, then you are complicit in that system.
That's true.
So there aren't any good cops. And if they want to have good cops, then they should work on that, and people need to stop having that conversation. And everybody got so happy about that photograph. There was a photograph from an officer in Seattle that hugged a young African-American boy during one of the protests.
Oh, I saw that on Yahoo Rollovers.
Yeah, and it was just one of those things where people just wanted to feel better about the situation. And, you know, in reality, if that young boy was out in a dark night, that officer would most likely try to shoot him. So that bullshit PR shot should not make you feel better, and I don't ever want to see that shot again.
Well. On that note, we've hit the hour, so I think we'll call it a show.
All right. Well, good night, everybody, and it was wonderful to be here with you.
This was Free Thy Land with Danica.